Soon after has a revelation, reinvents his life.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. Follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. And you can like the Dad's Point of View Facebook page, which is called A Dad's Point of View. It is time for spiritual talk with Pastor Drew Sams, who's a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California. Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I'm glad you got to your office because Pastor Drew texted me. He was driving and wanted to know if he could do the show from a cell, and he made it in time, so I'm glad. I want to get your thoughts on suicide, but given that it was what we talked about before, but I can't break tradition. We must have, and Richard, I hope you're ready, a health and welfare update on young Judah Andrew Sams. So how is nearly 20-month-year-old Judah doing?
Man, you know what it is? You just said a new phrase that you've never said before. Rather than say baby, you said young.
And, I'm very conscious about that.
My son's all grown up.
Yes.
He's doing great. He's actually 19 months tomorrow. So much fun. It's just amazing. It seems like every day he's got something new that he's learned, new word, new physical ability. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
That's great. And his health is all great, right?
Yeah. He got a little sick actually yesterday. If anybody's following me on Instagram, they saw the photo of me covered actually from chin to ankle in what was his breakfast and lunch.
And, you have to send me that. Send me that photo, please.
Well, he was not happy.
God, that's so funny. I meant to send out the beautiful one you sent me of the pumpkins and him crawling across a sea of orange.
Oh, that was so fun. That was from a week ago. He was feeling much better then, but then yesterday he was not feeling well. But then
please
once he got out of his
system. That picture. I want to send that out for all you non-parents out there. This may make you feel better.
Definitely. I'll send it to you right when we're done.
Okay, so I'd like to just get, because the last segment was so powerful talking about suicide, and you must have, in the years that you were youth pastor, sadly experienced a number of teens that have either tried or, God forbid, were successful. So I'd love your initial thoughts on it, and then we'll get to the main topic of today's show about helicopter and overprotective parents. Your initial thoughts and any scripture that comes to mind and what God's view is of suicide.
Yeah, boy, you know, it's such a sensitive topic. I've had friends that I went to school with growing up take their life. There's been high school students, sadly, that have taken their life. We've actually been able to, in one scenario, actually rescue a mom who attempted to take her life, and we responded quick enough that the police were able to rescue her, and she's living healthy and thriving now. But you know, there's a lot of reasons. I don't want to say that, you know, this is the number one reason why people choose to take their life, but it's complicated. And you know, for the majority of people that I've talked with, they just get to the point where there's no other option, that there's no other scenario other than to end their life. And my heart breaks for not only those people that make that decision, but also for the family.
Personally have more sympathy for the family, because in the end, I think the act of suicide is an incredibly selfish thing to do. And I the only time that I think suicide is appropriate is if you are living in absolute abject pain with something that's incurable and can't be managed in any way. I don't think anybody should have to live that way. And I have sympathy for people at any age that choose to take their life if their life is filled with actual horrible physical pain from some illness or injury. Beyond that, I think it's a horribly selfish act. And my sympathy really extends more to the people that survive.
It spreads not only to the family, the immediate family, but to the extended family, to classmates, to coworkers.
Well, look, you just talked about a mom. I mean, what does she leave her children? okay, I know whatever pain you're in the moment feels, you know, insoluble. And more so for teenagers, which is why we're kind of being more specific to teenagers at Dad Chat tonight. Teenagers are so in the moment, are so self-centered, and often so dramatic. You know, drama kings and queens. My older son's a drama king. I mean, he goes to town. He recently broke up with his girlfriend, and he was just all over the place, hysterically crazy. Or she broke up with him. And so it was scary. It was very scary. He could not see beyond his own immediate pain. And I think people that choose that path of suicide, that's what's going on. They just can't see beyond the immediate, and usually it's emotional pain, or in some cases, life circumstance, you lost your job, you can't pay the bills, but that's not a reason to kill yourself.
Sure, yeah, and you know, you even asked early on, you know, what is the biblical perspective on suicide? And in some regards, there's specific verses that forbid it. Of course, you have, you know, within the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt not kill. And that's often we think of that as, you know, don't kill others, but that also applies for killing yourself, taking your own life. And the reason behind all of that, and I think that this is a kind of a more foundational and a deeper thought, is that ultimately our life is not our own. God created us. We didn't create ourselves. So, you know, because of that, God is the only one who has not only the authority, but the right to not only give us life, but also whenever our time is, we don't know when that will be, but for him to take our life as well. And we just don't have that right to take it on our own accord or to take other people's lives through murder or through killing, because ultimately God is the giver of life. And so when we do that, we're actually putting on our God hat, so to speak, and really believing that we can come up with the best solution in a scenario, and it never is. We don't trust in God's way out for whatever that might be.
You know, there's a very famous phrase I use a lot, which is, I think King Solomon was credited with it, this too shall pass.
King Solomon, yeah.
And I actually, it's often used in Judaism as comfort for someone that's going through rough times. I actually believe in using it when things are good, because you often are living a good life and not appreciating it in the moment. And it's ironic, just before my older son had his breakup and a lot of the emotional pain that followed, including some dramatic short-term scares that our family faced, I was literally walking down the hall of my house thinking, wow, everything's going so great. This is like really cool. I'm really happy. I hope it lasts. And shortly thereafter, it changed for a short time. And then I found myself counseling myself with, okay, this too shall pass. My son will survive this problem. This is a normal problem. We all go through it. But to him, it was just so big. And that's the challenge when we have someone in our life that is threatening suicide or feeling so despondent, is to try to get them to see beyond. Whether it's evoking God and just saying you have no right to take your own life, I don't care what you do to prevent them, because usually we'll get out of our funk.
Yeah, it's so true. That perspective that you can give, whether it's a friend or a child or a family member, that they, as you said, this too shall pass, gives so much hope in the midst of it. You know, I'm actually among many of our staff members trained in how to respond to somebody who we believe maybe is showing signs of suicide or taking their own life. And I just would love to share this with you. There's really just two questions that I think all of us need to be armed with. And if you sense somebody, if they're saying something, you're kind of thinking, gosh, are they really saying that they're going to take their own life? The two questions are, first is, do you have a plan? And I know that that's some ways a morbid thing to ask, but that really assesses the situation. You know, if somebody says, oh, no, I just, you know, it's been a rough day. Okay, that, you know, it's not DEFCON 4. You know, it's not a red alert. We can process things. But if they do have a plan, then you've got to ask the second question, and that's this. Do you have a means to carry out that plan? You know, so if somebody says, yeah, my plan is I'm going to jump off of the top of Mount Everest. Okay, well, do you have a plane ticket to Nepal? Well, no. Okay. You know, then you can assess. Then they don't have the means to do it. But really, those two questions, do you have a plan? And second, do you have a means to carry it out? Really, then, if I get positive answers to both of those, myself as a mandated reporter, I legally then have to call the authorities and ask for help in the situation. And that saved somebody's life a couple years ago.
Very important. Very important. I'm glad you mentioned it. And I will, I'm hoping you're going to come to Dead Chat tonight. I'd love you to share those two things. In fact, if you could have those tweets ready and just be ready to put them out there. Very, very important. Or I'll prompt you. So, we could spend the whole segment talking about this, but I would love, let's not stay on it. I would love to get your thoughts on the column of the week, and the topic of the week was helicopter parenting and overprotective parents. Oddly enough, I think there's a corollary. I think if we don't teach our kids to be independent, and we coddle our kids, then they can become self-indulgent, especially in the teen years, and think that their whole world is going to end because such and such has happened. Whereas being a better parent, which sometimes means a little more tough love, might give our kids more independence. Now, it's an odd corollary to suicide, and I really don't mean to stick with it, but I'd love your thoughts in general on the overprotectiveness of many of our parents today and how you viewed it and seen it in your ministry.
Yeah, in many ways, my image that I think of often, you know, of that helicopter parent, they often describe, you know, literally like a helicopter flying above. But when I think of somebody who's overprotective, I think of somebody trying to squeeze a greased watermelon as hard as they can. And it seems like the harder you squeeze it, the more you put pressure on it, the more you kind of wrap your arms around it, around that greased watermelon, the more likely it is that it's going to come flying right out. It's going to slip right out. You're not going to be able to hold on to it. And I've noticed that parents, the tighter they hold on to their kids, the more protective, the more of a bubble that they create around their kids or their family, it seems like the more the kids want to rebel, the more problems ultimately those kids end up facing because they're not learning how to make decisions for themselves, how to get through what is a typical trial without their parent coming in and rescuing them. And in many ways, I think parents confuse being present in a kid's life with being overprotective.
Yes.
I think that we need to be present, but not overprotective.
I couldn't agree. We're actually out of time, but there's one point I'd really like to just clarify. First, two things. Greased Watermelon, great name for a website or something. Just greasedwatermelon.com. I really like that. Second is there is a big distinction between when your kids are 2, 3, 4 years old and when they're 14, 15, 16 as far as the protectiveness. Obviously, as you well know, with your 19-month-old going all over the place and bumping into things, that's when you do want to be overprotective. But when he's 12, 13, 14, it's a different matter.
So, and when they're 25, 26, 27, it's another matter entirely as well.
Because we never stop being a parent. We're out of time, Pastor Drew. You'll tell us where you're not blogging.
Well, hope to join you tonight on Dad Chat, but I'm on all the social networks at Surfer Drew, but still yet to be blogging at drewsams.com.
We'll see you tonight. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. I've got a short couple segments left after these messages.
Let me tell you a little story about a dude I know. His name is Bruce Allen. He used to have a Jew.